Today's Taisho will be on case 80 in the Piyen Lu, the Heikigan Roku. Case 80 is entitled Joshu's A Newborn Baby. Main subject, a monk asked Joshu, does a newborn baby possess the six senses or not? Joshu said, it is like throwing a ball into the rapids. The monk later asked Tosu, what is the meaning of throwing a ball into the rapids? Tosu said, nen after nen, without ceasing. Secho's verse, the question, the six senses, purposeless. Well acquainted with it, the masters. A ball is thrown into the rapids. Do you know where it is carried? I want to thank everybody for being here today to practice Zen. And it's wonderful to practice Zen together. You know, when we came up with this idea, we weren't sure it was going to work. And little by little, we've been organizing sits, regular sits online at our usual schedule. But the idea of doing an online sesshin just seemed slightly crazy. But actually, it's work, you knock on wood, but it's working out, it seems to be working out pretty well. I wasn't sure that was the case because only a couple weeks ago we have a Sunday sit, and during our Sunday sit, Zoom went out over most of Western Europe and the Eastern United States and some parts of California. So I thought, you know, we could get this launched. Facebook turns out to be unreliable because it has so many users that it gets overwhelmed. So you can't necessarily live stream on Facebook and have it live streamed. Sometimes for inexplicable reasons, Facebook just shuts down. You know. So Zoom is more dependable, but even Zoom is vulnerable. But, you know, we've been able to have our regular sitting schedule and even do Dokusan. If you haven't gone to Dokusan, you're in for a treat because it's really amazing. You know, it's like an encounter in the Dokusan room. You're there and I'm here. It's wonderful. And we can talk and I can see your face and you can see my face. So, you know, I'm thrilled that this is working out because, you know, we really don't know how long this situation is going to last. And we really can't say that, we can't say that we have good leadership and that they're going to get us out of this, right? But we, even if we had good leadership, you know, it's hard to tell what's going to happen. Before the session started, I was reading in California that, you know, they're having another wave. They opened up a little bit and they had another wave of infections. And, you know, we're so lucky because nobody in our community, I mean, again, knock on wood, right? Nobody in our community has gotten sick. It is true that Kriti did get COVID and made it through. And I'm so happy about that. And MTS too. So, you know, I take back what I said about nobody having this problem. But everybody's alive anyway. And let's hope that stays the case. You know, so we might be unable to get together at Murray Grove for a long time. By August. Everything will be blown over. I even thought we would be having sesshin at Murray Grove. I thought, well, in a month or two, we'll probably be out of the woods, but not so. And you know, it would be lovely to be at Murray Grove in August. You know, all the flowers are up. You know, they have some real gardeners there, and they've done a beautiful job. And even though it's hot in August, where I sit in the Zendo, I can look out the window, and sometimes I see hummingbirds going by. In fact, I said to the director, I said, as we were leaving Sashin, I said, "You guys are so lucky. You have so many hummingbirds." He said, "Hummingbirds, really?" He didn't know. Maybe it was the Zazen drew the hummingbirds. But anyway, that would be magical, you know? But in Dokusan last night, somebody said something really interesting, among many interesting things. This person said, "You know, I go to Sashin," and this is a person who goes to Sashin quite regularly. And he says, "And after we sit, I walk outside, and everything is so beautiful. Everything is so alive." And he said, "I walked out of my house, and I walked down the street," and he said, I saw things I really hadn't noticed before. He said, "I really realized I live in a beautiful place." I think that's wonderful. You know, impermanence is the nature of things. And we are living out impermanence right now. We like to pretend that impermanence is not something that affects us too much. But everything is in flux all the time. And basically, if we hold on to the past, we can't respond to the present creatively. And almost all of our suffering, according to Buddhist teachings, comes from holding on to the past. And the past has a powerful hold over us, right? Has a powerful grip over us. You know, I've been talking for much of the Sashin about what the sutras call habit energies. And basically the sutras actually say that our experience of the world, which we think of as solid and reliable and repetitively present, is not solid and reliable and repetitively present, persistently present. They said, actually, that is created by our own mental activity, that apparent consistency is created by our own mental activity. And it said, basically, the sutras say that, what makes things real for humans is repetition. So, the first time you go jogging, if you haven't ever been jogging and you don't get much exercise, the first time you go jogging, it could be a nightmare, right? Or another example is if you've ever gone on a hike. I remember I had a friend in college whose name was Larry, and he is still one of my best friends. We've done hiking for 40 years together. And I think I took Larry on his first hike in the Shenandoah Mountains when I was living in Virginia. We were both going to college in Virginia. And Larry was a suburban kid. And Larry wasn't a hiker and he wasn't an athlete. But I talked him into going on this hike, and I thought that by the end of the hike he had had a totally miserable time. His boots weren't right. He got a cheap backpack and it started falling apart. Just one thing after another, and the whole time he was complaining and he was in pain and it was a nightmare for him. And I must say, I've had similar experiences where you know, basically the first time I ever had to work as a construction, as a assistant a carpenter. Basically, you spend the day carrying wood and shingles up to the tops of buildings, you know, on your, you know, you take shingles and put them on your shoulder and go up a ladder. And halfway through the day, it's just like, I just want to quit. So this is like unpleasant. But, you know, Larry kept hiking. And he's like a hiking, you know, it's his passion in life. He actually takes groups. He leads groups up into the Rocky Mountains and up into the Wallawa Mountains and the Tetons. You know, so he's a sort of like a leader of groups in the Rockies. So you know, it became a habit for him. It became real. And the first time he did it, it wasn't real. He used to actually say to me, "Why are we doing this?" I'd say, "Larry, look, we're going from this creek to this mountaintop. It's an 8-mile hike." And Larry would, he after 4 miles, he was tired, and he'd say, "Why do we have to go 8 miles? Why don't we just stop here? Where is it written that we have to go 8 miles? Now, you know, the last time I went hiking with him, I actually had to say, "Would you, you know, take it easy on me? You know, I'm not the great outdoorsman that you are." So, you know, once it becomes habit, it becomes real. And everything is like that. You know, I mentioned the most obvious example is that, you know, everybody in the state of New Jersey gets up at around 7 o'clock in the morning, takes a shower, has breakfast, and gets in a car and drives to work. There's nothing real about this, right? There's nothing real. There are people all over the world who have never heard of anything like this. You know, I remember when I was in college reading about read about the Mayas in Guatemala. And it said the Mayans get up when they want to get up. They're an agricultural community. They get up when they want to get up. They eat when they want to eat. Whenever they feel like eating, they get together and they eat. They don't have like a lunchtime, a dinner time. You know, lunchtime and dinner time are human inventions. They're created just by repetition. So everything we do is created by repetition. And as I have been saying, you know, people get trapped in their energy habits. We repeat behaviors over and over again. We repeat thoughts over and over again. And mental patterns over and over again. So, you know, one of the wonderful things about Sesshin is that around day 3, people begin to become aware of their mental patterns, of their mental habits. You know, another person came into the Dokusan last night and he said, "You know, I'm starting to feel so much better. I'm starting to feel so much better. But, you know, during the day I missed a sit and I started berating myself." And he said, "I realize I do this to myself all the time." And that was such a wonderful moment. You know, sometimes in Sesshin, we suddenly become aware that we have these habit energies, these loops that we get that we get caught in and can't get out of. And when we come to Sesshin and we do a lot of sitting, it's true, you know, your legs hurt and you get tired. But little by little, you're dropping into a deep samadhi. And eventually, you drop into emptiness, mu shin. And emptiness is the most wonderful thing in the world. You know, we recite the Heart Sutra several times a day. And the Heart Sutra says there's no suffering that emptiness cannot bring an end to. And what it means is that suffering is caused by our habit energies. And that basically emptiness can release us from our habit energies. So you could say, well, I don't think that's true. You know, if I'm having a pain in my knee, I'm objectively having pain in my knee. But actually, pain in your knee is not actually suffering, if I may say so, as somebody who has pain in his knee. You know, pain in your suffering is not wanting, it is wanting the pain in your knee to go away, right? When you've resolved to sit there. Suffering is caused by wanting the present moment to be something other than what it is, usually what it has been. So, you know, my grandfather went through the Great Depression, and he really never recovered. You know, my great-grandfather was a businessman who made a lot of money. And my family is from Newark. And my great-grandfather had a lot of money, and then during the Great Depression, he lost it all. And my grandfather never recovered from that. You know, he was used to having like a wonderful life. You know, my grandfather was used to like the good life. And he went to college. He was an engineer. And during the Great Depression, nobody needed an engineer. So my grandfather wound up working in a machine as a machinist in a Ford in the Ford Motor Plant in Edison, New Jersey, before they tore it down. And my grandfather was such an unhappy, bitter man because he remembered this childhood that was just so fantastic. And, you know, he wound up, you know, at the end of his life, he and my grandmother were living in this really crummy little apartment, and they suffered so much. But you know, there were other people living in those same apartments and working at the Ford plant who weren't suffering. You know, there were other people who were, you know, like really grateful to have a job during the Depression, and people who were really happy to live in those apartments. As a little kid, I remember going there and thinking they were kind of nice apartments. So you know, suffering is produced by how we deal with change, which is inevitable. And this is, by the way, these are the Four Noble Truths, right? This is the this is like Buddhism 101. You know, Buddhism is not fundamentally about bliss or even enlightenment. You know, Buddhism is about how we deal with change. And usually change is the occasion for suffering. And the Buddha said, but I have a way out of suffering, see? And that's the Eightfold Path. This idea of habit energy is not at all trivial. It's absolutely like the key to the whole thing. It's what we're doing on the cushion. We're liberating ourselves from our habit energies. And what we use to liberate ourselves from our habit energies is the power of emptiness. Because emptiness is, among other things, besides being an aspect of reality, is also like the zero point. It's like the zero point of reality. You know, it's one way to think about things is like this. You know, we think there's a moment, and then another moment, and then another moment, and then another moment. But when you sit down on the cushion and you watch your breath, you know, you watch it hour after hour, day after day. And if you do that really carefully, one day you notice that your mind has become really blank, like just blank. And when people have a hard time getting to that blankness, sometimes I'll say, well, look, follow the breath out. When you get to the end of your breath, see what you notice. And people will follow the breath out, and they'll suddenly notice at the end of the breath, so to speak, there's this emptiness. See, and actually, there's that emptiness isn't really at the end of the breath. It's between one moment and the next. So actually, it's not the case that there's a moment and then another moment and then another moment. And actually, according to Buddhist theory of the mind, we can only be aware of one thing at a time. So there's one moment of awareness and another moment of awareness and another moment of awareness. So if you see a car coming down the road and you hear a bird cry and you look at your cat and say, "Don't go," you know, "don't go across the street," those seem to all happen together. But if you have been meditating for 3 days, you realize that those aren't happening simultaneously at all. It's a sequence. See, so you hear the car, you hear the bird, you see the cat, you have an emotional response. And your consciousness can only, basically Zen view is your consciousness can only hold one thing at a time. And in fact, you know, Zen cosmologists say there is only one thing at a time. One thing is happening at a time. And the word for this thing that's happening one thing at a time is a nin, N-E-N, N-E-N in Japanese. And all, that comes from a Mandarin word. But basically, nin is a moment of awareness or a moment of reality. See, so actually takes a lot of sitting, but if you're watching the breath and you're watching the breath and you're watching the breath, eventually you notice your mind becomes completely blank. And, you know, most people just think, "Oh, that's the darndest thing," or they don't even think about it. Yeah, blank, who cares? And then the teacher will say, "Well, go back to that blankness because it's important." But the truth is that if you were to watch a candle, and you were to put the candle in front of you instead of watching your breath and keep bringing your attention back to the breath, you would bring it back to the candle. Eventually, your mind would go completely blank. See, it would go completely blank. If you are in a room where you can hear the sound of, say, a bird, I'll never forget, I was studying with a teacher in upstate New York, and he said, "Listen, just..." There were so many birds around his temple, it was just really amazing. And he said, you want to have a cool experience? And I said, "Sure." He said, "Just do this. Try to listen to a bird sound that's very repetitive. See if you can pick one out and just focus on it." And I did that, and I actually felt like somebody had pushed me off a cliff. You know, it was like falling off a cliff, like falling. And I fell right into emptiness. But it was like a real sensation of falling. And I went in and told him, and he just burst into laughter. See, if you focus your mind on anything intently, a sound that's repeating itself, sooner or later you will fall right into emptiness. And that's because emptiness is actually here all the time. We just repress it, right? We just repress it. Somebody came into Dokusan and told me that even outside of Sesshin, she was just doing her regular daily things, and all of a sudden, she said, her mind went completely blank. And she said it just lasted for a second, and then things went on. But and actually, that was like a spontaneous experience of Mushin. You know, so on the cushion, you know, we sometimes have to work very hard to get to that blankness. But, you know, it's really there all the time, and sometimes people blunder into it, or it just happens. You know, you just notice it. Maybe because this person has been doing a lot of Zazen, she was sort of receptive to it. Most people aren't receptive to emptiness. In fact, they're actually made very nervous by it. But it's there all the time. So if you really think about how consciousness works, consciousness isn't continuous. It's interrupted by emptiness over and over again. So actually, the stream of consciousness is like this. Nen, that's a mental event, you could say. Awareness of something. Awareness. Awareness, emptiness. Awareness, emptiness. Awareness, emptiness. Awareness, emptiness. So, you know, mental habits are created by repetitive behavior, right? So you know, basically, if I go jogging one time, it's a nightmare. If I start going every day, after a while, I experience pleasure. And in fact, if I don't do it, I can my body might crave the exercise, or I'll feel guilty for not doing it, right? So mental habits are like, you could say, mental habits are like leaving a message for our next self. See, we think that the self is permanent. We think, I'm Kurt. I was Kurt yesterday, and I was Kurt the day before, and I was Kurt the day before. But actually, that's a fiction. That is not true. And if you disagree with me, feel free. There isn't really any essential Kurt. There isn't. Maybe there's an essential Bill or something, I don't know, but there's no essential Kurt. You know, actually, yeah, I don't know if you do this, but I always leave my keys. When I come home, I leave the keys on a shelf next to the door out of the house. There's a little shelf. And I put the keys there because I won't remember where I put my keys if I don't put them in the same place every day. See, I'm creating an energy habit. It's like I'm sending the next Kurt. I'm helping the next Kurt out, if this makes any sense. This sounds a little crazy, I know. But I'm really helping the next Kurt. There's a Kurt who's going to be getting up tomorrow morning to come here and do the next day of Sesshin, and he's got to leave the house at 6 o'clock and drive over to Rutgers. And he won't be able to find his keys. I know that because I haven't been able to find my keys. So I'm going to leave for that Kurt the keys in a place he'll remember. See? And we do this all the time. We're actually like sending messages to our next self in the next moments, in the next years down the road. You know, psychologists have done studies, and they actually have done like personality studies over like 30 or 40 years. And the interesting thing is that they say the personality studies confirm you are not the person you were when you were 10 years old. They said often there's very little common ground. In our memories, we create continuity, but there's not. We create continuity, but it's not really there. So where am I going with this? Well, you know, our understanding of ourselves, according to Buddhism, is confused. And we think there's a permanent self, when really you could say the self is just like this process. But the process isn't one moment after another. It's a moment emptiness, a moment emptiness, a moment emptiness. And, you know, what Zen is trying to do, one way to think about what Zen is trying to do is to help us free ourselves from our habit energies by going back to zero. And every time we go back to zero, we experience the next moment for a little while in a totally fresh way, totally fresh. And actually, believe it or not, according to Buddhist thinking, you're a new person. Actually, every moment, you're a new person. You don't think you're a new person because you have created these habits. But in every moment, you're a totally new person. And at the first part of every moment, if you're going through emptiness, things are very fresh. When you go into Mushin and you are in emptiness, and then you hear something like a bird outside, for that first split second, there's no judgment. It's just the pure experience. See? So that's actually called the first Nen. It's called the first Nen. You hear this pure sound, this pure experience, and actually there's no self in that moment. Then in the second part of the moment, if you think of the moment as like a wave, the first part of the wave as you come out of emptiness is you come out of Mu and you hear a bird sound, you're absolutely fresh experience, absolutely fresh. Then in the second part of the moment, as the wave gathers towards the crest, you begin to think. you begin to think in a discriminating way. You say, oh, what a beautiful sound. As soon as you say that, you're reminding yourself that you're Kurt. And then you have an emotional experience as the experience, you have an emotion as the experience is decaying. So every moment has this character, this wave-like character. It comes out of emptiness. There's a trough, and that's the emptiness. And then there's the fresh experience. And then there's the emotional kick, right? The emotional response, the reaction. And then there's a dissolution of the moment, and there's like this emotional character. So it's like experience, thought, emotion. Experience, thought, emotion. And when we go into emptiness and we emerge on the other side and have a pure experience, you know, we have the chance to change our habits, change our energy habits. And in that, that's like real freedom. Freedom isn't a myth. You know, people have real freedom to become a new person. You can completely reinvent yourself in that moment. You know, one of the things the Buddha used to say was, and nobody understood what he was talking about, but he used to say, I am always at the beginning. I am always at the beginning. And in Zen, we say, Zen mind, beginner's mind. What does that mean? It means that, you know, when you sit, you always keep your attention focused on the first part of the moment. In other words, you know, when we're doing Zazen, we're watching the breath, and we're coming out of emptiness, and we hear something. For a moment, there's no thought. And that's usually where people have the experience that allows them to answer their koan. That's usually where people have an insight into reality that's different from their mental habits. So you'll go deep into Mushin, and then you'll be coming out, and as you're coming out, you have a memory of your father. Now, you know, before the anger kicks in, you suddenly have this powerful experience of love, right? And then, you know, you may or may not return to your old mental habit in the second part of the moment. But, you know, each time we go into emptiness and we come out, we begin to experience a world like day one, totally fresh, totally new. And in that moment, we can have an insight that's different from our habitual patterns. So the art of Zen is always to stay at the front of the moment. As soon as you start thinking, you know you're slipping into second Nen habits. That's the karmic aspect of the moment. The second and third Nens are where the karma, the mental habits, kick in. So the art of Zen is to stay, go into deep Mushin, and then stay at the front of the moment, in the first Nen. And we keep staying in the front of the moment, and then, of course, thought is inevitably going to arise. But as we're staying at the front of the moment, everything, this is why on day three of Sesshin, everything becomes so fresh and clear. It's like your senses have been purified, because you have created a distance between actually your attention and your karma. And this is all a little technical, but it's when you sit down on the cushion and you're watching the breath and you go into emptiness and you come out, you'll notice that everything around you has a newness or freshness. If you go out after this Taisho, and you go walking, everything seems so alive, and you'll notice you're not thinking much. That's because you've trained yourself through many hours of practice to stay in what we call the first Nen. It's the first, the second, and the third Nen. So consciousness is really like this, and this is what Joshua is talking about. A monk asked Joshu, does a newborn baby possess the six senses or not? And one way to understand that question is he's saying, even though it might not be clear, he's really saying, are we trapped by our karma or not? That it's a very Buddhist way of asking the question. But are we trapped by our mental habits or not? See. And Joshu said, okay, so a monk asked Joshu, does a newborn baby have karma, basically? And Joshu says, and really beyond that question is, can we ever get out of our karma, since we're not newborn babies? And Joshu said, it is like throwing a ball into the rapids. See? So, you know, it's hard to get out of our mental habits, even if they make us miserable, because they reassure us with their repetitiveness, their apparent solidity. So let's say you've had a difficult relationship with a parent. Every time you think of that parent, you try to communicate, but you just can't communicate. It always winds up, you wind up back in frustration and anger, right? So, you know, is it possible ever to get out of that relationship? And we will cling to that unhappy relationship without fully knowing it, because it's reassuring to us to have continuity. You know, it's like the one thing I can rely on is that I don't like my mother, right? You know, that's sort of what we're saying to ourselves. But actually, Joshua is saying, you know, actually that's entirely an imaginary situation. You can liberate yourself from your karma, your mental habits, by going into emptiness and then paying attention to the nen right after emptiness, if I can put it that way. And that's what we're actually, without using the technical jargon, that's what we're actually supposed to be doing in Zen. So if your koan is, say, who is he? There's a koan that goes like this, who is he? Hoan said, who is he? See, you know, when you think about the koan, you're responding to the koan in second and third nen. In other words, with your mental habits, right? Maybe you've read Plato and you say, oh, this is like Plato's Know Thyself, right? Or, you know, basically that's the kind of processing of the koan we don't need to do, because it will only reinstate our habitual mental patterns. So what we need to do instead is to go into emptiness and keep the mind on the first nen. So basically you go into Wuxin and then you say, who? And then, you know, thoughts arise and you come back and you say, who? See, and then you come back and you say, who? 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 And you might not understand, but what you're doing is you're actually pushing your mind back into that first nen, that fresh first moment of creation instant, right after you come out of emptiness. And, you know, that, as I say, that's when people suddenly have a new experience of something, right? So you know, who is he? Who is he? Who is he? And maybe your he, when you're working with the koan, is somebody who's done you an injury, right? And so you're saying, who is he? Who is he? Who is he? And you keep having these very negative memories come up. But, you know, if you go into Mushin and you keep saying who, you're staying at the front of the moment. You're staying in the first nen. And all of a sudden, you know, you can have this insight, you know, that turns everything on its head. And this happens to people all the time. They come into the Dokusan room and say, I don't know why, but I suddenly realize, you know, this. How did that happen? It's going into emptiness and experiencing the world before our karmic formations, our mental habits kick in. So, you know, this is, for some of us, this is day 4 of Sesshin, And this is where it's really possible in a sustained way to be in the first nim, in that first moment before karma kicks in, before the habitual mental patterns and emotional patterns begin to grip us again. And it takes a lot of sitting to be able to sustain your attention on the first nim, that first nim consciousness. But please keep up the good work. Everybody's doing a good job. If you arrived last night, I'm so glad you're here. Please practice this way. If you have a koan, go into deep mushin, go into the trough, and then as you exit the trough, there's a moment arising. And you sort of say to the moment whatever your koan is. Who, what, circle, line, whatever. And if you keep doing that, it's possible to transform yourself completely. Main subject, a monk asked Joshu, does a newborn baby possess the six senses or not? Are we always trapped by karma? Are we always trapped? Since our world is made of mental habits, since we rely on our mental habits, since habits make reality, are we trapped in our reality? And Joshu said, no. He said, it's like throwing a ball into the rapids. Okay. What is the meaning of throwing the ball into the rapids? Tosu said, he said it, Joshu said it's like throwing a ball into the rapids. The monk later asked Tosu, same question, and actually gets the same answer in a slightly different way. The monk asked Tosu, what is the meaning of throwing a ball into the rapids? Tosu said, nen after nen without ceasing. So Tosu's answer is a little better than Joshu's answer, because Tosu is telling the monk exactly what to do. Joshu says, look at the rapids, go into emptiness, it's like wave after wave, go into emptiness, come out, go into emptiness, come out, ride the waves, Joshu says. Tosu says, it's nen after nen, he really means pay attention to the first nen, the first part of every nen. So every moment has three parts. First part, we say first nen, second nen, third nen. He really says, pay attention to the first nen. So as we're going through the sitting today, please keep your mind in first nen consciousness. As soon as thoughts form, see, you're already slipping into second nen. So you just keep pulling your mind, after you go into mushin, pulling your mind back to the front of the moment. And don't spend any time at all with your thoughts. Please don't. Just keep coming back to the emptiness nen, emptiness nen. And really, you'll be so happy if you do. So please keep up the good work.